earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. I want you to ponder that just for a moment. Think of what David was thinking as he was thinking upon the Lord. And he's thinking about the Lord and his glory way above the heavens. If you could just think, David's looking up in the sky and he's thinking of the clouds, he's thinking of the blue sky, he's thinking beyond the blue sky. What is way out there? It's the glory of God way above the heavens. And then the Word of God says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, David's pondering the heavens, and he realizes everything that is so vast, it's the work of God's fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. He then asks this question, what is man that you are mindful of him? We often think big of ourselves. If we could get an inverted view from out in space as David is pondering way up above the stars, and if you would look back down and if you were able to see man, you wouldn't be able to see man, because you're so teeny tiny minuscule in the sight of the whole creation, you can't even see a speck of dust that shows your existence if you were to get that far out. Therefore, David says, and he had to have some insight, what is man that you are mindful of him? You would think upon man in this vast creation is mind-boggling, that God would show his love toward us, and that he would think upon us, be mindful of us. Very, very interesting psalm, Psalm 8. As you take your Bibles and you turn to Micah chapter 3, we have looked at the first couple of chapters of Micah, and in Micah chapter 3, what we do see is that Micah turns his focus from kind of a general message and goes in more particular and pointed message as he talks to the leaders in particular. He's talking to people at first in chapters 1 and 2. But in chapter 3, what he does, he starts talking to the establishment, the judges, the priests, the prophets, all these rulers. I want you to notice what it says in the first four verses. There's only 12 verses in this chapter of Micah, chapter 3. Verse 1, the Word of God says, and I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, you princes of the house of Israel. This word, princes, it's talking about those who decide things, those who would be judges. And then he says, is it not for you to know judgment? The word judgment there is the word justice. In other words, you who rule, you who are judges, shouldn't you know justice? I want you to notice here what Micah does in starting out this chapter. He says, and I said. This follows what was just said in chapter 2. When he hears the breaker has come upon them, they have broken up, then he says, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice or judgment? Here comes the accusation, and what he's doing, he's going to accuse the courts. He's going to basically accuse the judges, those who judge matters, those who are civil leaders. Civil leaders ought to know what's right. But yet, if you look in our country today, even civil leaders, this message is speaking today in our day and time. Shouldn't those who are elected officials, shouldn't they know justice? And you know what? You get digging and digging, you find a lot of junk with politicians. The longer they're politicians, the more junk you find. Oftentimes, the more you find that their money is ruling them. Is it not for you to know justice? You who judge, shouldn't you know right and wrong? And how to judge right and wrong? Isn't this kind of ironic? Because we hit on this Sunday night, this past Sunday night, and this past Sunday morning. You remember this past Sunday morning over in Hebrews chapter 2 or chapter 5 and down in verse 12? You remember what the passage said? For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the ABCs, or the principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, you have to be in the Word of God to know good and evil, to be able to discern right from wrong. Here, Micah is saying the same thing back in chapter 3. Oh, you princes, you deciders, you who decide what's right and wrong, shouldn't you know what's right and wrong? You who decide what is righteous, shouldn't you be able to judge righteously, justly? The problem was these rulers used the people for their own gain. Much like politicians in our day and time. Let me give you a little example. Our governor says we need to practice social distancing. He gives Fayette County one voting precinct. Louisville, only one voting precinct. As Lydia and I stood in line to vote, it was kind of a blessing because the lady that was standing right in front of us was from Milk and Honey, which is the daycare where we were about to buy the land from. And it was her and her brother and family that owned that place, so it was a good conversation. And process, we saw some elderly people. It was an elderly couple, a row over as the lines winded around. And one lady, she was probably up in her late 80s, she said, "I think I'm going to faint." The older gentleman, I guess her husband, was holding her up. And yet this is what our governor says do. Smaller towns. I think Jessamine County had four precincts open. Four. Fayette County has got one. Something's wrong. Something's corrupt. So he tells us to wear a mask. In the line in the voting, there was some people with masks, some people without masks. Strong breeze blowing. And as that strong breeze is blowing, you can imagine people's stuff is blowing off of them, and we're breathing it in. So, the cure is that you put your mask on. I hope you can follow me with this, because I was asking Sarah and Cheryl this earlier, and I don't know if they follow my train of thought. They want you to wear a mask to keep the virus away. If I'm healthy, I don't need to keep the virus away, and it doesn't matter if I breathe without a mask. But if I'm concerned, I need to wear a mask. If I think I've got something, I need to wear a mask to keep somebody else from being infected. If masks are so important, I'm kind of curious why the governor wants everybody to wear a mask. If, say, like those that are needing protection are wearing masks. It's kind of like you quarantine the healthy. that has never before happened in our history. And yet it's a worldwide type thing. Strange things, and it's a lot of control. The virus is a serious thing. I do not make light of anything like that. I do believe if I'm going to get a virus, I'll get it. Well, if I got a mask or if I don't got a mask. But I do believe our governor has overstepped bounds in a lot of ways. Just one illustration, just as rulers, not being able to judge right from wrong. He's basically saying, I want to keep you healthy while I kill your babies. Does that make sense? Something's wrong with the rulers of our country. What Micah does, Micah uses some very stark language. Language like we wouldn't use in our day and time. He talks in terms of cannibalism. That'll get somebody's attention. If you start talking about peeling the skin off somebody and chopping them up and pinching the meat off of them, putting it in a pot and boiling it, that's getting pretty nasty. I was like, ugh. But I want you to notice what Micah says. And I believe he's saying this as far as a shock to get people's attention to the corruptness that's going on. He's talking about these judges that should be able to discern right from wrong, and he says, they hate the good and they love the evil. They pluck off their skin from off them, their flesh from off their bones. They're picking the flesh, the meat from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people. They flay their skin from off them. They break their bones and chop them in pieces. As for the pot, and as flesh within the cauldron, here's the accusation. The judges that should be able to judge right from wrong were actually using people for their gain. They were eating the people up, so to speak. Micah was a contemporary with Isaiah. What's ironic, Isaiah said some of the same things, or Micah said some of the same things as Isaiah. Listen to what it says over in Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah the 5th chapter, and down in verse 20, the Word of God says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What did Micah say? They hate the good and they love the evil. What are they saying in our day and time? Abortion is a woman's right. Therefore, it's good. We don't need to interfere with their choice. You know what? They're calling evil good. And they're calling good evil. We should be, as our Constitution says, a government by the people and for the people. It's not a government by the politicians and for the politicians, but yet that's what we see in our society today. I do believe the United States of America, among all countries, no matter where you would go, the United States of America has the most liberties, the most freedoms. The number one place where people would strive to come to live the dream, so to speak. Literally, people cross our borders to come to the United States to have the freedoms that we've got. And yet what we find is a disgruntled people who have the freedoms griping against the freedoms. We've got people calling good evil and evil good. Micah's message is a contemporary message. What they did in that day and time is what they do in our day and time. They pervert the justice that they're supposed to uphold. Judges. We've got judges, Supreme Court judges, that have literally changed the law, which is the legislature's responsibility. There is a separation of powers, and those powers have crossed borderlines. Judges are supposed to judge righteously, judge justice. And yet what we find, they are taking it and making it say what they want to say. It was no different in Micah's time. They did it for gain. We live in a time where they let criminals go and they threaten pastors or they threaten businesses for trying to make money to feed their families. Letting the criminal go and threatening to lock up good citizens. Something is wrong. God knows it. God's on the throne. When there is this accusation against the judges, what God does, He pronounces condemnation. He pronounces judgment. Notice what it says in verse 4. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doing. God's response to their evil and wicked ways, He's not going to listen to them. They're going to call upon His name. He's not going to hear them. You know what? There's more than one instance of this in the Word of God. Look back in Proverbs. In Proverbs 1, I'd like for you to notice down in verse 24. The Lord says, because I have called and you've refused, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. God says He's not going to listen. Listen to what it says in Psalm 66. In the 66th Psalm, down in verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you're going to acknowledge sin in your life and live in sin and do wickedly, God's not going to hear your prayer. James 4. Talks about that too. You ask, but you receive not because you ask amiss. You ask, but you ask to consume it upon your own lust. Let me tell you, God's not going to hear that when you cry to Him. Not only is there the threat and the promise of God not hearing someone crying out to Him, but it also says, I'm going to hide my face from you. Now, back in the Jewish day and time, in the Jewish culture, for the Lord to shine His face down upon somebody was a big blessing. You remember what it says back in, let me give you a couple of passages of Scripture, over in the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers, the 6th chapter. Look down in verse 25. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 25. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That shows a blessing being pronounced. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. If the Lord makes His face shine upon you, that means you have found favor in the sight of God. Listen to what it says in Psalm 31. It says it consistently, psalm after psalm after psalm. In Psalm 31, Notice down in verse 16. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. In Psalm 67 and down in verse 1 also again. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Says the same thing in Psalm 80, verse 3, Psalm 80, verse 7, Psalm 80 and verse 9 or 19. And then it says it also in Psalm 119. Listen to what it says in Psalm 119, down in verse 135. Psalm 119, verse 135 says, make your face to shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. You know what, if you want to pray a prayer, ask God to shine his face down upon you. To shine his face down upon us, that we may obtain his favor. That was a Jewish prayer consistently in their prayers. But God said he's going to hide his face. That means a curse is pronounced upon him. If God does not shine his face down upon us, we need to say, woe is us. What Micah does in verses 5 through verse 7, he starts speaking against the prophets. Now I want you to notice what he says in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. They bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And he that puts not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision. And it shall be dark unto you, and that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Here again, Micah is in unison there with Isaiah. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12. As for my people, children and their are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The leaders are causing them to err in the way they walk. Here, he's talking to the prophets. These prophets have caused them to err. Notice what it says in verse 5. Verse 5 sounds kind of confusing. It says, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. You prophets, you're false prophets. You're causing them to walk in the wrong way. It says these false prophets, they bite with their teeth and cry peace. Now what does that mean? In other words, if you had money and you come and you gave to the prophet, or if you gave food to the prophet would bite and eat that food and say, peace to you. But if you didn't bring anything, and the prophet, it says, he puts not into their mouth because you didn't give them nothing, then even prepare war, they even prepare war against him. You see what the false prophets are doing? They're showing favor toward those that are wealthy, and they're shunning those that are poor. If you give, they'll call peace unto you. But if not, they're going to declare a holy war upon you. Now, you know what? This is prejudice against the poor. When you think about false teachers, false prophets, that cause people to err. And notice God says it's my people they're causing to err. How many false prophets do we have in the United States of America today? Just in the United States of America today. There are false prophets galore. They give a false gospel. They give a false hope. And they pronounce a false peace just like these false prophets did back in their day and time. They will tell you, you got to be baptized to wash your sins away. Well, then the person trusts in their baptism. No, your baptism does not wash your sins away. It's only the blood of Jesus that washes a person's sins away. You'll have some people tell you, well, you can lose your salvation if you don't do dut, 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 dut. And you got to not do dut, 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 dut. And you got to do this, you can't do that. Let me tell you something. If salvation is by works, it's no longer of grace. But let me tell you, if it's of grace, it's no longer of works. You are saved by grace through faith. It's the grace of God that saves us. Here's a distinguishing message amongst Baptists. We believe it's the grace of God that saves us, and it's by the grace of God we live. We're saved by grace, we're kept by grace. Now, you know what? If we're saved by grace, we'll do good works, but those good works do not keep us. It's the grace of God that keeps us. And because of that grace, we're kept by the power of God. That does not give a false hope. That gives full assurance that when God promises unto us eternal life, we have eternal life. It does not end. It's not based upon what you do and don't do or going to do and can't do and might do and maybe do. You know what? We'd lose our salvation every other second. But it's all by the grace of God that we do stand. But yet we've got people preaching a false message today. They preach a prosperity gospel. They preach you, God will give you whatever you claim. All you got to do is claim it. If you don't want that coronavirus, all you got to do is claim it. No, don't believe that. That's a false gospel, given a false hope. And there's plenty of those today. I would say turn your TV on, you can find them, but don't listen to them. You might be swept away and be caused to err. That's what they were doing in Micah's day and time. And they're still doing it today in our day and time. Listen to what it says down in chapter 2 and verse 11. If a man walking in the Spirit in falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto you of wine and of strong drink. You give me the wine and strong drink, I'll prophesy. He shall even be the prophet of this people. You'll have a drunkard in one line to you all the time be your prophet. God will give you over to it. Know what you believe. Know why you believe what you believe. Be grounded in the truth of God's word, in the promises of God's word. Don't let any man deceive you. How often, let me tell you, God's word, how often God's word is not a popular message. False prophets, they were influenced by people giving. Do you know anybody like that today? Did you remember the preacher down in Atlanta? Y'all need to give so I can buy a new jet. This was, I think, about a year ago. Y'all need to give so I can get me a new jet. This prosperity gospel this jet set preacher wanted, what he does, he takes from your prosperity. While you linger, they prosper. They literally rob and live for riches. Listen to what it says over in 2 Timothy. Over in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Boy, it happened in Micah's day and time. Paul's telling Timothy it's going to happen in his day and time. You know what? It's happening in our day and time. There are people going to things that they call churches that aren't churches, that are teaching untruths and taking the Word of God and twisting and cutting and just a positive message, positive, positive. God is love is all they know. You know, God is love, but God is just also. God is holy. They don't want to preach that, though. Listen to their condemnation. The Lord said it's going to be night unto them. They shall not have a vision. It shall be dark unto you that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. In other words, they're going to be ashamed. They have nothing to say because God's word is not going to come to them at all. They're going to cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. Now, here's the false prophets, and on the opposite side of that, you've got the true prophets. You've got Micah speaking. Micah speaks in verse 8, and notice what he says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." Micah was a God-called man. Let me tell you here a saying Brother Berlin Heisel mentioned years ago. I'm sure he got it from a preacher from years ago. He said, "Your calling will only be as strong, or your ministry will only be as strong as your calling." So when times get tough in ministry, if you don't have a strong calling, what will happen? You'll fall by the wayside. Your ministry is only as strong as your calling. Here, what's Micah saying? Micah is very simply saying he's got some boldness because of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is within him. Therefore, he's declaring to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. He's confronting them about their sinfulness. He's got a boldness in his walk. He's got a boldness in his talk. And it's all because he's walking with the Lord. And it's only because he's talking with the Lord and the Lord is speaking to him. Let me tell you something, we all ought to have that holy boldness as children of God. We ought to be right with God, walking with God, and declaring the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about beating people over the head with a Bible. I'm talking about speaking the truth in love and not being ashamed of the truth. Not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not being ashamed to talk about Jesus in a public place. Here, Micah was empowered by the Spirit of God. If you're a child of God, you've got the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Let me tell you, you're not getting more of the Spirit. You got the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And if His Spirit dwells within you, you ought to be walking by the power of the Spirit of God wherever you go, not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Micah was on the side of justice and of righteousness. He said he was declaring Jacob's transgression. He said he had judgment and he had might. Here he was confident that he was on the Lord's side. Because of that, he can boldly confront sin. In the last three verses, 9 through 12, four verses there, what we see is Micah directs his message right to the rulers of Jerusalem. Kind of like a wrapping up this message as far as this prophecy. In verse 9, he says, "Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob, you princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment or justice, and you pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward." You know what that's saying? Those that are the rulers, they make judgment according to a bribe. You give me a little bit of money, they'll make the right judgment for you. In other words, their justice was tainted. They trusted in their religion. Notice it says, "And the prophets thereof divined for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us." Micah's just said evil's going to come. They're saying, "No, evil can't touch us because we worship the Lord." Therefore, because of that, because of your confidence, which is in a false hope, "therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest." Here he pronounces condemnation upon them. Now, Micah, when he pronounced condemnation, you remember he went over a period of about eight kings. That judgment didn't come right at that time. He prophesied all the way till the time of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, what happened? Listen to what happened when Hezekiah started ruling. Look in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 26. In Jeremiah 26, down in verse 17, in Jeremiah 26, 17, in Jeremiah's time, they heard of Micah. It says, then rose up in verse 17, certain of the elders of the land, and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah, the Morishthite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord? And he besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against him. Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. In other words, what happened when Hezekiah started reigning? They repented, and judgment was delayed. 100 years down the road, eventually, the Babylonians come in and take Judah captive. But judgment was delayed because under Hezekiah's rule, they turned from their sin and they put their faith and trust in the Lord. Now, ultimately, Jerusalem was razed to the ground. When was that? During Titus's reign, 70 AD. You could see that judgment was postponed, but judgment did come eventually. What we see here is God's justice. God is a righteous God, and He's against those that are in high places that do not do justly, who are judges who do not do justice, whose prophets do not speak righteously. He's against that. He's against these rulers who use the people for their own greedy gain and prosper off those that are lowly. Let me tell you, God's against that. Times don't seem like they've changed too much since Micah's time, does it? God one day will pour out judgment, I have no doubt, upon this land, unless we repent. We see a lot of evil. My dad said, I think 120 shootings in Chicago just this past weekend. 120? Man, if you're living in Chicago, you better go with full body armor. I can't imagine. I did hear where some young boy, I think around 7 years old, shot in the face. People are wicked. And unless they repent, God's judgment will come. May God cause His face to shine upon us, that we might share the glorious gospel, that they might see the light of the glory of God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your preserved Word that still speaks to us today, and it's almost like a headline that we would read even today. Judges are not judging righteously. Rulers are not ruling with right judgment. Preachers are not preaching the truth of Your Word, but twisting it. Lord, we ask that You be merciful unto us and cause Your face to shine upon us. May we be bearers and sowers of good seed. And may You multiply that seed. And may the gospel find root in people's hearts and lives, bringing forth fruit to everlasting life. Work effectually and mightily in our midst, in our personal lives, in our corporate lives. Lord, be glorified, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. You are dismissed.